Let us pray. Most Holy Christ, speak to us today. And may we have ears to hear. Amen. Happy Easter. On this day, we make our song, Alleluia, Christ is risen. All right, you're going to get a chance to do that later. You need to improve when we get there. But it really is good to see all of you here today. Some of you I didn't see all this year until just around this time last year, but welcome back. We're glad you're back with us. And reminds me of a story of a bishop who was on a regular visitation, and he walked out, and there were four people in the pew, so he turned to the rector and said, "Did you not tell these people I was coming?" And the rector said, "Yes, I did. I guess these four did not get the message." So I always love it when I show up and you show up. That's a good thing when that happens. This has been a strange Holy Week indeed. It began on Monday with the fire and destruction of one of the most beloved and recognized houses of worship in the world, Notre Dame in Paris. What seemed to have stood the test of time and would always be went up in smoke in a matter of minutes. And then, as if we needed even more distraction, after all of this time waiting, was, you guessed it, right in the middle of Holy Week, the release of the long-awaited Mueller report. That really cleared things up, didn't it? Easter is here. It came anyway, and it came right in the midst of the madness of the world. The world was just as mad back then, 2,000 years ago, in this story we read about Jesus today. We read that when the women returned to the disciples to tell them what they had witnessed, that the disciples' reaction was this: the words to them about resurrection seemed an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Now, sadly, there are lots of instances of men in the Bible not believing the women when they report things. But I want you to know the women are always right. Always. The men just never seem to get that. The more things change. But imagine this, the disciples who had walked with Jesus through his whole ministry, the entire gospel, being told just what would happen. And on this day, it had happened. And when they were told, this is what we're told of their reaction. These words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. They did not believe them. I suspect there are more than just a few in here in this very room on this Easter morning that resonate in some way with those words. The idea of resurrection, eternal life, when in the midst of a world such as ours in which we live every day and see and know of so much oppression and death, it's very easy indeed to see talk of resurrection as an idle tale. Fiction, naive hope. Let's face it, you and I are living in a world with leaders everywhere giving in to the message of fear. Jesus was crucified and rose in exactly the same place. Fear was the order of the day in those days too, because so often fear is the way of the world. Motivate, persuade, lead through fear. This is where resurrection comes in. It's where Easter comes in. But it can and does sound like an idle tale. And therefore, it is easy not to believe. I'm not going to spend this entire sermon today trying to convince you otherwise. It will have to be enough for me to simply say, I believe it. I don't know every detail of it, how it works, what it all entails, but I believe it. I believe in resurrection and in eternal life. The idea that what we see, all that we know here, is not all there is. I believe that. Today, maybe it's enough for me to convince you not to spend a ton of time on trying to figure out all of those details and instead have you think about what it means to accept the God of love, to simply believe God does love you. and the person that cut you off in traffic this morning, and the person you most carry a grudge with, the one you cannot get out of your mind, who you most despise, God loves them just as much. I think that might be more important for today, not to have me try to convince you that resurrection is real, but instead just to perhaps move you closer to the belief that God is real. We started this yearly Lenten journey towards Easter, this reenactment of Jesus' life. The church rehearses each year back on Ash Wednesday when we had ash crosses imposed on our foreheads, and we heard the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." That day is there to remind us how frail life is, how fleeting, how dependent we are on God and on each other. The irony is usually when we really know that, what life we have seems all the more priceless and worth living. In a sense, our living in Lent and then having Easter as the bookend to it is encapsulated in that old Hasidic Jewish parable, which says everyone must have two pockets with a note in each pocket so that he or she can reach into one or the other depending on their need. When feeling lowly and depressed and discouraged, one should reach into the right pocket and there find the words, "For my sake, the world was created." But when feeling high and mighty, one should reach into the left pocket and find the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." We live right in between those. I'll tell you on this Easter day another thing I believe in: good and evil. I believe we see it and know it every day. We live right in between those two. I believe good and evil are in me, that I'm as susceptible to living into either of those realities as anyone is. I believe in the choice, the free will given to me by my Creator to make that choice, and I believe I have to make it every day. I don't always succeed, or in other words, I will say I often fail. That is the world we live in. We live, all of us, between these realities, good and evil, majestic being and dust, death and resurrection. And the story we read this day from 2,000 years ago is a story not just of that time, but of all times. Jesus was clear that this was not only going to be his story, but our story. Death and resurrection, those two poles. For my sake, the world was created, and remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return, are all around us. We get to make a choice. Do we choose good or evil? Death or resurrection? Do we choose Easter? Crucifixions are just as real today. They are not things of the past. Crucifixion was the form of state execution in those days. We have different methods now, but with the same intent. And it's not just governments that carry these out. We all do it. One that we will all remember and which has come around again of late is the death of Matthew Shepard. Most of you know that Matthew Shepard was a gay student from the University of Wyoming who in 1998 was crucified outside Laramie, Wyoming. His two assailants literally tied him to a fence, set him on fire, and left him to die. When the bicyclist who later found him first saw him so bloody was Matthew, the biker thought at first he was a scarecrow. His face was so covered in blood that all he could see were the lines on his face where his tears had fallen. Shepard was in a coma and would die about 6 days later, mostly due to severe head injuries. Crucified by hate, by fear, by evil, by choice. Matthew was an Episcopalian. He was pretty active. He was an acolyte. At his funeral at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Casper, you may remember, people came from everywhere to surround the church, locked arm in arm so his family and friends would not have to see the protesters in the name of Christianity. holding up signs that read, "Matt in hell," and "God hates fags." I actually met and talked to Matthew's mother a few years ago, and I've read a lot about this, but I never knew that after his body was cremated, the family had wrestled for 20 years as to where to inter the remains. They lived in fear that wherever they might inter him, people would desecrate it. So they just hung on to his remains until this past year when Bishop Gene Robinson, the first openly gay bishop in the Anglican Communion, a person I'm proud to call a friend and colleague and an ardent supporter of the Shepherd family, suggested the National Cathedral in Washington, an Episcopal church, and they agreed. And on that day, Gene Robinson preached a powerful sermon. He said that day, "If you close your eyes and you open your heart, Matt is right here." That's resurrection. And he ended with these words, with tears of his own, looking at the earthly remains of Matthew. He said, "Matthew, rest gently in this place. You are safe now. You are home now." This very cathedral, right now, is a sanctuary for one who is considered a stranger among us, a stranger in this land. This cathedral has welcomed that stranger, offered to protect that stranger. That is not politics. That is our work. That is our faith. That is our choice. I believe it is this cathedral choosing Easter. Crucifixions still happen every day, but also does resurrection. We live in between. We have choices to make. If you get nothing else from this sermon today or from this celebration, please get this. Our God is a God of love, not a God of vengeance, not a God out to trick us, not a God of fear or a God of us and them, no matter what you hear. I know a lot of people in this room have been hurt by well-meaning and not so well-meaning people in the name of Christianity. But if you remember nothing else, if you believe nothing else, believe this. God looks at you, you just as you are, and says today and every day, you are beloved, you are safe, you are loved. Not even death can bring an end to that truth. I stand here today to say for me, that is not an idle tale. I believe it. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the final enemy to be destroyed is death. And not even death can keep us from God, can keep us from being loved, from being safe, from being home. That's what I believe today. That's what rises today. That no fear can end God's love. No amount of evil can change that. No fire can destroy it. No hate can stop it. Not even death can destroy that truth. You are beloved. You are safe. You are home. That is resurrection. That is Easter. That is our God. My good people, resurrection is not an idle tale. Resurrection is God's amazing promise that no matter what we choose, God chooses us, beloved, safe, home. Resurrection is not what was or only what is to come. It is right now. Easter is not a day or even a season. It is a way of life. And we have to choose. And it is for this, on this day, that we make our song, "Alleluia, Christ is risen." Christ is risen. Amen.